Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Wasn't last week just an amazing treat with the missionaries from Syria? Oh my goodness. All week long, I was just thinking and taking in the stories and hearing the amazing report of what God has done through our brothers and sisters in Syria. And, you know, down to the bullets stopping right where they were at and dropping down. One of the things that just totally was just a big illustration for me was the fact that they're in church services like this, and bombs are dropping outside of the church, and the pastor will just say, oh, hold on a second, okay. And then once everything's all done, they'll just keep on going right along. And just the amazing sense of trust and peace and faith in the Lord was absolutely encouraging and inspiring. And you know, the Apostle Paul said these words in the New Testament. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. A big form of helping other people in their walk with God, we call it discipleship, raising up disciples, people who are growing in the Lord, it's not all about programs, though programs are good. It's not all about teaching, though teaching is good. It's not all about praying, though praying is good. Another aspect of raising up followers of Jesus is for you and for I to be able to say, hey, I don't have a perfect life, but look at my life and follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Imitate my faith, Paul said in the scriptures. And when we look at our brothers and sisters from Syria, at Pastor Gamal and Micheline, it's a great way to look at their lives and imitate of various aspects of their life. And I wanted to read a passage of scripture kind of as like a bit of a personal application, but going deeper into what we even heard last week. And I want to read this out of the book of Isaiah that I believe even demonstrates what we saw through the life of Pastor Gamal and his wife. And it says this, it says, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys rage free. Let me pray. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that you are here with us today. Thank you for being with us throughout the service. And Holy Spirit, we pray now that every heart, Lord, that our hearts would be open and sensitive to the word of God today. God, I pray that you would breathe, O Lord, in a way that only you can. God, I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that the spirit of revelation and wisdom would be poured upon this meeting this morning. God, for those of us who have been serving you for many years, to those of us who just started serving you, Lord, we pray that you would do an exceedingly and abundant work in our hearts, Lord. God, we came here to this meeting today, Lord. We came into the sanctuary with things on our mind and things on our heart, but we pray that you would transfer what is upon your mind and upon your heart, we pray, God. So we thank you now in Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this picture kind of paints an illustration of what we saw with Pastor Gamal and his wife. And quite literally, if you look here at the bottom, it says, though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, and literally in Damascus, the city so many ways was leveled, there was this thing called peace that they were experiencing. I think that the Bible, one of the things that the Bible talks about is that even though as Christians, as followers of Christ, we recognize, yes, I'm supposed to have peace in my life, I believe many of us, it happens, we're finding many, many Christians don't actually walk in that peace on a daily basis. We say, okay, I believe that I should be able to walk in this thing called peace, but you know, life is busy and life is stressful. And I also think that even though there's physical bombs, there's not physical bombs necessarily dropping here in our lives, every day there are spiritual bombs going off around us. Have you ever gone into a grocery store and you're headed out and you might even be singing a song? Maybe you're thinking about a memory verse. You might have been singing this, the Lord is good and his love endures forever, and you're going to your car, and then all of a sudden, the most horrible, evil thought just shoots into your mind. Come on, raising your hands. How many has that ever happened to? I know it's happened to me. Happens to all of us. You say, how does that happen? How can I go from singing and worshiping and even being in a spiritual state of mind, then all of a sudden there's this crazy thing that comes to me? The Bible calls that the darts of the enemy. That's a spiritual bomb that just happened. Now, unfortunately, if we don't respect the fact that we are in a spiritual war, many times we can be caught unaware and actually be hurt and hindered and discouraged and defeated. So even though there's not a physical war happening around us right now during this current time of our history of this country, as Christians, there is a spiritual war all around us. And when you look at this passage, I want us to recognize this. If you look real quickly, it says that the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. So righteousness is when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and he comes to live inside your life, the righteousness of God gets transferred to you. Say, what is righteousness? Well, simply stated, righteousness is the perfection of God that is placed upon our life. God is perfect. God is holy. God has never done anything wrong, and he is perfect in every way. Do you know that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, that perfection is placed upon your life? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Okay, now you might say, Pastor Matt, you didn't see me this week. Okay. Righteousness? How does that happen? Well, here's what's important. Even though our lives are progressively growing close to him and more of him is coming and less of us and we're growing in the Lord, when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore he says, I see a perfect child of God. Now, does he ignore our sin? No, of course he doesn't ignore our sin, but he sees what Jesus Christ, what his son did on the cross when he shed his blood. He says, wow, that the righteousness of God has come upon our lives. And there, you know what's amazing about it? It's absolutely free. Nobody can work to make themselves more righteous. Jesus Christ already did the work by dying on the cross and rising from the grave. He conquered death and sin, and it's the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. Amen? And it's very important. Some of you here, and this is just a side note, in your religious journey, in your journey of religion and trying to work towards God, you've been doing just that. You've been trying to work towards a closer relationship with God. But it's important for all of us to know that the Bible tells us that it's not by works, it's by faith. We believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that is what positions us as children of God. And if I've seen it once, I've seen it so many times, where people feel the need to have to work to make themselves better. But there is no one righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. No one can work themselves into righteousness. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, and when we accept his work, we receive God's perfection on our lives. And that's what's absolutely amazing. Let's praise God for the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. All right, if you put that back up there, Isaiah 32. So it says the fruit of that righteousness. So I want you to imagine the fruit of being a Christian now. The fruit of receiving God's work on your life is this, will be peace. So, you know, you go and you take a piece of fruit off the tree and you eat that fruit and you partake in that wonderful, you know, flavor, whether it's an apple and oranges, whatever, and that's the effect, that's the outcome of something that had happened. The outcome of being a Christian, the outcome of the finished work of Jesus Christ is that we can walk and live in a place of peace. Now you might say, I thought peace was something that will happen when I'm in retirement or maybe one day. No, Jesus Christ paid for our peace. And it's not just positional peace. It's not just, okay, now that I'm saved, I'll have peace with God. It's a peace that can translate to every single day. It's a peace that translates to Monday morning. It's a peace that translates to Tuesday night. It's a peace that translates to your job, to your marriage, to your parenting. A peace when you're with people, a peace when you're alone, a peace in your heart, a peace in your thoughts, a peace in your bank account. It's peace everywhere. God has purchased our peace. If you believe Jesus purchased your peace, say amen. Amen. He did. And this is the fruit of it. It's saying the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. So, okay, I can walk in this place of peace, but then even later in the scripture here, it says, even though hail flattens the forest and the city's level completely, I can still experience this peace. Brothers and sisters, I want to appeal to you today that even though we are going to live in a lifetime of war, even though there's battles, many battles ahead of us, we can still live in a place of peace. And can I tell you that some of you might have a conception that life as a Christian is supposed to be what the founding fathers of our country said, well, the goal of every American is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But can I tell you, that's not found in the Bible, okay? Jesus said, you will have many troubles. He said it. He was very clear. But you know what the most amazing thing is? Is that even though we may have many troubles, Jesus said, that doesn't mean I don't want you to live without peace. Because many times our peace that we live is in every day, it's conditional. It's based upon our circumstances. If I've got happy circumstances, then I'm going to be at peace. And today, I want us to talk about this, that God paid for our hearts to experience peace and quiet in a lifetime of war and noise. God paid for our hearts to experience peace and quiet in a lifetime of war and noise, and that's the title of the message today, A Heart of Peace in a Lifetime of War. Now, some of you might have just gotten very discouraged. You say, I just got out of a battle. You tell me I'm about ready to go into another one? Yes. This is not heaven. If we learned anything from last week with our Syrian brothers and sisters, that life on this side of heaven can be very difficult. But how many of you can't wait one day when we're going to see him face to face and we're going to be with him, okay? We're going to see him and it will be glory and there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more hurt, no more violence. It will be perfect. But until we get to heaven, there is a war happening right now around us. Do you know that there's a war for your soul? There's a war for your family? There's a war for your future? God has a plan for you. The devil has a plan for you too. But the good news is that even in a lifetime of war, God wants us to be able to have a heart of peace. So what does a heart of a peace-filled Christian look like? The characteristics of a peace-filled, what I want to call warrior's heart, a peace-filled warrior's of heart is quietness and confidence. Quietness and confidence. If you can turn back to Isaiah 32 and you can look there in verse 17, it says this. It says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace, and its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. You see that at the top there? Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. So they're saying, wow, the heart can experience quietness and confidence. Now, let's look up here for a second. I was talking with Pastor Toledo about this message, and we were going back and forth and talking, and he said something. He said, Matt, you know, can I tell you that the longer I'm a Christian, and the longer I've been serving the Lord, I am convinced that many, many Christians truly don't walk in peace. I think they, we were talking, and I was saying, you know what, I think we think we're in peace, but we've redefined what peace really is. Peace is when your heart is able to be quiet and confident. Quiet and confident. I want to walk through what that should look like, And if you're new to the Bible, and maybe you're not so new to the Bible and you still struggle with this, as you're hearing the Word of God, the last thing that God wants for you and me as your pastor, last thing I would want for you, any of us as leaders, we don't want you to sit under the Word of God thinking, man, I'm a horrible person, feeling condemned, saying, I'm never going to measure up, I'm never going to be able to do that. You're hearing through the wrong lens. When you see these next slides and you're seeing this truth, can I encourage you to say, wow, that's what God wants for me. This is what God paid for. This is what Jesus wants. And have a heart of hope, not of condemnation. So two characteristics is quietness and confidence. So first of all, when we have a heart of peace in a lifetime of war, one of our characteristics is that we are able to have a quiet heart. A quiet heart. A heart that is free of noise and able to remain in a place of stillness. A heart that is free of noise and able to remain in a place of stillness. Okay, you see that right there? That might have been the quietest moment any of you have had all week long. You're like, did Pastor Matt forget what he was going to say? No, I didn't forget what I was going to say. Okay. Everyone just be quiet for 1 minute. Just. That's what God wants our hearts to sound like. What does your heart sound like today? What does my heart sound like? What's in your mind and your heart? When I use the word heart, I'm talking your inner life. Is it still? Is it quiet? Is it free of noise? Or is it rattling with all sorts of stuff? I got to do this. I got to go here. I got to check that score. I got to check my email. The kids need that for school tomorrow. This, that. I got to pay that bill. Oh, I forgot about this. Oh, man, this church carpet is clean. I got to clean my carpet at the house, you know. Whatever it might be. We've all been there. It's just like noise. And you know, we're living in a day and age that it is very difficult to have a quiet heart. One of our leaders was at a restaurant yesterday and she told me, she said, you know the craziest thing? I was at this restaurant and I'm kid you not, she said 80% of the people who were sitting down to have a meal with each other were on their phones, not even talking to each other. And she's like, it was the most bizarre thing. And this leader, by the way, is under 25. And she was saying, it was sad. And I said, you know what's happened is technology and the pace of our culture has created a very loud spirit for us as a people. And when our heart begins to become noisy, we begin to lose our peace. There's this sense of just anxiety and angst that begins to sneak up. And that's just one example. Some of you worry. And you might even try to sanctify your worrying. You say, well, I'm worrying about my child to come back to Jesus. Or I'm worrying about the ministry work that I have to do. Or I'm worrying about my marriage. And you might have in your mind a good reason for your noise. But what the Bible says is that Jesus paid, he shed his precious blood so that we literally can experience a quiet heart. You've all been there in your devos when you're starting to read the word and all of a sudden you just have just all, like 17 thoughts about what you have to do. You ever done that before? I've been there, yeah. And now the fact that we read our Bibles on the phones and iPads and Kindles and all that, it's like you're there and all of a sudden you get beep beep and you're getting text messages. Sometimes you just got to go back to the scrolls because there's no text message app here in the Word. You know what I'm saying? You just say, no interruption. No interruption. I read on my iPad, I've just put an airplane mode. I've turned everything off. I talked to somebody, he said, why don't you just put an airplane mode? I said, what a phenomenal idea. You know, duh. You know. So whatever it is, though, even in our devotional life, Noise. The moms can really, really attest to this. I happen to grow up in a really great home, and I have four brothers and sisters. I have me, my brother, and my two sisters. And what also happened is my mom happened to be a licensed foster care worker with the state of Illinois, and so my mom and dad would do emergency foster care. So we had us four, and then at any given time, they would call and say, hey, I've got two kids, I've got three kids, I've got one kid, I've got a baby, I've got a 10-year-old. You know, they need a place to stay for the next 2 days, and sometimes 2 days would turn into, you know, 6 months, but it's just the way it happened. And I remember one day getting a ding-dong on the door, and two little boys from Cabrini Green came in, and some tragic had happened to their mother, and they had nowhere to go, and we took them in. And I remember they would come, and I had a bunk bed, so I would give them my bed, and it was really powerful for me as a young man. But I remember in the mornings especially were kind of uniquely chaotic, you know, because we'd get up and be doing breakfast, and where's your book bag, who's going to get this, and all of a sudden, and even mom and dads in a home, if you have kids, you know how there's like this grand, the symphony, like the prayer meeting message, where all of a sudden the noise level just starts to go like this, you know. And it's almost like it just begins to grow and grow. And hey, stop hitting me. Well, you hit me first. Hey, where's this? Mom, I need this. Where's my homework? Hey, you know. And then can I watch TV? And hey, this boy. And then all of a sudden, it just starts going like this. And then inevitably, my wonderful mother, who is so wonderful, she would graciously say, "Can I please get some peace and quiet?" Yeah. And when mom used the PQ code thing, you know, peace and quiet, everybody knew I better back down a little bit before she had to apply that kind of peace and quiet, you know. And so we moved back. And a lot of times, even though in our lives, we can have that same thing where it's so noisy, so noisy, so noisy. And sometimes the heart cries, "God, can I just get some peace and quiet?" And you know what God says? He says, "Absolutely, I already paid for that. My blood purchased so your heart can be quiet." And can I tell you, many times for us as Christians, at least in our country, the noise is not anyone else's fault except our own. And it's not to be condemned. I've been there. You've just pile on noise like 17-fold. But we didn't need to do that. And so today I'm believing we're going to pray a little bit at the end that we're going to be able to release the noise and say, "God, would you just give me that quiet heart?" That quiet heart. So that's the first characteristic, is a quiet heart. The second, let me show you this quote real quickly before I get to the second part. This is by Blaise Pascal. He said this: "I have discovered that all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they are unable to stay quietly in their own room." Blaise Pascal, 17th century Christian philosopher. You know when I heard that? I said, it's been the same issue for even 400 years. He wrote this back years in the 1600s. And the ability for us to be quiet. Because you know why a lot of people can't be quiet is because they don't like what they find there. One of God's greatest weapons, that's the wrong word, one of God's greatest tools of healing and deliverance is to get us to be quiet. And sometimes you get so quiet and your fears creep up and all this, and you know when that starts to happen, God's like, "Okay, now we can do business," and you need to bring that to him so that the heart can experience deep peace. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the second characteristic of a peace-filled warrior's heart is confidence. Confidence is a heart that is confident and hopeful that events will be favorable. That events will be favorable. So when the bombs are dropping in our lives, whatever it might be, when the annoyances kick in, annoyances and sometimes tragic things happen in our lives, a heart that is full of peace, one of the characteristics of it is that is a heart that is confident, a sense of confidence. And I think the psalmist articulates it the best here when he says, "I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You know how powerful it is when you're in a dark, dark place and you can say, "You know what? I'm going to get through this war, but I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord." You know what it says in the land of the living? It doesn't say in the land of the dead. The land of the living is now and is here. Confidence, this deep sense of this is going to work out okay. And can I tell you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we can be 100% confident that we really, truly will see the goodness of the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. Now, remember, the goodness of the Lord is not based upon what we think the circumstance should be. Many times we say, "God's goodness means he's going to line this job up. He's going to help my family this way. He's going to do this." Remember, there's a reason why he sits on the throne in heaven and we don't, okay? Let him figure out the circumstances. But this whole message is for us as Christians to know that regardless of the exterior circumstances, our hearts can be full of peace. Peace on the inside, even though there's war on the outside. That's the difference. Our peace, I want to say it again, our peace should not be contingent upon our circumstances. The peace of the New Testament biblical Christian should not be determined by our external circumstances. Our peace should be determined by the promises of the Word of God. And so the promise is, yes, I paid for your heart that you can experience real quiet and also that you can experience this deep confidence. So what does it look like? What does a confident heart look like? Well, one of our brothers who's here for school, and he's from Nigeria, Basi, he was sharing a story with me today about a pastor named Dr. Uma, and he's an evangelist in Nigeria, and God has been using him for many, many years, preached the gospel to thousands and thousands of people. And he told me a story about spiritual confidence, which happens when your heart is at peace. And he said he had just finished a crusade with thousands of people that gave their heart to the Lord. I don't know how many gave their heart to the Lord. It was a lot of people, big ministry. Right after the crusade, some guest ministers came up to him and said, "Hey, can you come across town with us? We have a group of people over there. We want you to preach to them too." So, as many men of God would say, he's like, "Oh, okay, great, let's go." So he goes, but they're in the car. It's him and his wife, and they're going with these people, and all of a sudden they take him to a house, and they take him and they lock him in the room. And they say, "By the way, we're not guest evangelists, we're thieves, and we want all of your money and we want your car." Talk about coming off the mountain, right? You know, talk about coming off of, talk about a bomb dropping and a circumstantial, a change of circumstances. And so the amazing thing begins to happen. There's this deep confidence that Dr. Uma had. And he begins, you know, he gives them one simple answer when they ask to take his car keys and all of his money and everything. He said, "No." And now his wife is like, give him the money. But I'm going to back up and give you a little bit of understanding. In the developing world, ransom and holding, kidnapping people and holding them ransom is a common way for people that they literally live like that. That's how they fund their lives. And so this pastor knew deep down if he caved to these kidnappers, they probably would then go after a bunch of other pastors. They potentially would go after his congregation. So this was much bigger than his personal property. And he knew he couldn't cave to the intimidation of these thieves. And so it was a bigger, there's more at stake than that. And so they said, well, they locked him in, and all day long, it was a whole day they kept him locked up. All day. And the next day they come to him and they said, "If you don't do it, we're going to kill you. And now here's how we're going to kill you. We're going to make you drink a cup of acid." That was the way that they were going to go down. And he said, "I'm not giving you this stuff. I'm not doing it." And so, this is, by the way, there's a difference between arrogance and pride and spiritual confidence. Okay, this was because his heart was so quiet and he was at peace, he had a confidence from the Lord. And so here's what the testimony is. Here's what he said. So they came in and they took it. They gave him. So they started to force him to drink. He said, Can I pray for this cup of acid before I drink it?" They're like, "What's wrong with you?" He's like, "Sure." And here's what he prayed. He said, "Father, please turn this cup of acid into a vitamin drink." Like, you know, Vitamix, like some green smoothie or something. He said, "Please turn it into that." And you know what he did? He took it and he drank it. And nothing happens. And they waited 2 minutes. They're expecting him to die. 5 minutes, nothing. 6 minutes, nothing. 15 minutes later, now these thieves are completely befuddled. And they get afraid. And they try to leave. And Dr. Uma said, "Excuse me, didn't you bring me here to preach to somebody? Where are they?" He said, he wanted to get up and actually start preaching all over the community. And it ended up being the case. They ended up letting him go. And he left. But that is an incredible testimony of someone who remained confident. Let's praise God for what he did in that man's life. It's just an example of confidence that comes when our hearts are at peace. If the piano players can come. And here's the thing. We're going to get into this last part here. This last part. We're going to give some instructions of what it means to experience these things. But before I do, I want to remind us that the Bible... You could take that down for a second. The Bible is full of tension, okay? Tension. Now, I had one professor once, he said, people think that the Bible has a lot of paradoxes in it, and he said, "I don't like to use the word paradox," for those of you who are philosophers and maybe debaters and you're into the logical progression. He said, I don't want to call things in the Bible paradoxes because that means that at the end of the paradox, the truth is actually senseless or illogical. He said, I like to call it tension. Tension. And so what do we mean by tension? Well, you have portions of the Word of God that says that God has sovereignly chosen those who are going to be saved. It's in the Bible. And so we believe that God already has chosen in his mind, and he already knows every soul and every life that is going to give their heart to Jesus Christ during the story of love. Okay. Now, on the other side, there's other Bible verses that say it is up to the individual person to make a choice to say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor Matt, isn't that a contradiction? And I would say, no, it's not a contradiction, because the Bible talks about both. If you believe that, say amen. It does. So you might say, well, I don't understand. Well, that's what we call a biblical tension. It's a biblical tension. There's other parts where it says that by his stripes we are healed, past tense, meaning the work of Jesus Christ has already purchased our healing, physical healing. But then somebody gets sick and you're like, well, if Jesus already purchased the healing, how does that work? Well, even though he has declared and says that we have been healed, and we still have to pray and believe God that he's going to heal us, what is that? That's a biblical tension. You have other parts where it says that you need to strain after God and run after Jesus and press, and then there's other verses that says you need to rest in Jesus. So it's like, what am I supposed to do? How do I rest and press at the same time? Okay. Well, that's a tension. It's a biblical tension. And it's important for us, my brothers and sisters, to remember that God does not bow down to our logic. We bow down to God's word, okay? Western thought has been befuddled many times with the Bible because our finite minds many times can't grasp the great mind of God. But it's in the word of God, and so you have this very important tension. So I want to say all of that to set us up for three quick instructions to experience wartime peace. So now, we have a heart that is confident, a heart that is quiet. We're believing that the Lord, that's a characteristic. But now here's three different instructions for how to really experience wartime peace. The first thing is that we need to rest without falling asleep. We need to learn to rest in the Lord without falling asleep. Look at this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So there's this beautiful, beautiful picture that says, come and bring all of your burdens to me so you can rest in me, so that you're able to rest. Now, the reason I put the falling asleep thing up here is because sometimes if you've been through a lot of wars, and some of you in this room have had a very, very hard journey. We've heard some of your stories, and if you were to hear some of these stories, it would make you want to cry for weeks. The trauma, the abuse, the pain, the hurt, the discouragement that some of you have been through. I praise God that you're here, and I praise God for his mercy and for his love. But what happens sometimes is when you go through so much trauma, you can get to the point where you said, I quit. And you may not check out externally, but you might check out in your heart. You say, I just can't keep fighting anymore. And sometimes the trauma can be so great that it could create such a numbness in your heart that you kind of fall into a spiritual coma. Some of you here, that you might be here, and you've been serving the Lord for many years, and you are in a spiritual coma right now. Because of a variety of circumstances, because the trauma, just like in a physical trauma, can rock somebody so much that they become unconscious. That can happen to us as Christians. But one of the most beautiful things is that we could say, God, I don't want to be asleep, but I want to rest in you. And you have burdens here, and I want to encourage you to bring them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. A quick word to some of you I mentioned a little earlier who maybe have justified the noise and the lack of peace. One of the hardest times to have a lack of peace is when you have a loved one, a child, a family member who is going through a hard time. But there's only one person who went to the cross, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus wants, he's inviting you, he's saying, listen, I don't want you to carry that. Some of you feel responsible. Some of you say, I have to carry this. Some of you might feel guilty if you don't carry the burdens that you're carrying. Maybe part of the burdens that you're carrying is because of your own doing, and you've messed something up and you say, I have to carry this. I don't deserve to have peace. Can I tell you here today? You're right. None of us deserve to have peace. Nobody does. But that's the beautiful, beautiful, wonderful work of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that we can experience deep, deep peace. I want to encourage you, enter into the rest of the Lord this today. Surrender those burdens to the Lord. Some of you have been carrying them for years. He wants you to experience deep, deep peace. So the first thing is rest without falling asleep. The second instruction is that we need to learn to strain without stressing. Strain without stressing. Philippians chapter 3 says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul is talking about this forward motion, this forward action, strain, like we've been encouraging the church body to share the gospel, to preach, to serve, to love. There's a pushing. We are pushing back against the kingdom of darkness. But in our strain, our hearts should not be stressing. Our hearts should not get to the point that we are so stressed and so strained. So I'm going to put this picture up for you real quick, kind of illustrate this. Have any of you ever seen something like this? Some of you? Hopefully. If you're not, it's okay. It's an exercise machine, okay? This is an elliptical, okay? So when you work out and you exercise, it kind of shows you the data. Here you've got calories burned, calories per minute. And then right there you have this thing called heart rate, right? It's 103 beats per minute. And you know, when you exercise, it's good to get your heart rate up because that's kind of how you get fit. But how many of you have ever had the situation where you had an unexpected physical exertion moment, where you had to run across the street, or you had a jump, or something happened, and you had to really quickly maybe to run and catch the bus, and then you sit down and your heart's like going like this, you know? You're like, man, I got to work out, okay? Like, I got to stop eating that. I got, you know, and you're like, I've already have a heart attack, and your heart's just pounding. Well, if your heart stays at that high level for a long time, guess what happens? You have a heart attack. If your physical heart becomes so stressed all the time, it's very, very unhealthy. And I believe that even spiritually, many times, we don't even realize that we are stressing in a very unhealthy place. Jesus does not want your heart to stress like that. There are moments of affliction, absolutely. The Apostle Paul, who wrote that passage, he got beaten, he got thrown in jail, he was shipwrecked, he had sleepless nights. Yes, there are moments where you get anxious and get afraid or whatever, but I want to let you know that the moment should not determine your life. It should not turn into days and weeks and months and years. God wants us to be able to strain without stressing. And then the last thing is this. The last instruction for us to experience wartime peace is very simply stated. We need to claim our inheritance. Claim your inheritance. Claim your inheritance. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he purchased your and my peace. He purchased our peace. He shed his precious blood so that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, we can walk and live in a place of deep, deep quietness, confidence, and rest in the Lord. Now you might say, Pastor Matt, I get that, but I don't think that's for me. I don't understand. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Look at this verse here in the New Testament. It says in Colossians, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Remember, you don't qualify yourself for peace, neither do I. Jesus is the one who qualifies us for peace to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. There's an inheritance that we have. We need to claim our inheritance. I want to paint a quick picture for you about unclaimed inheritance. People who've not claimed what is rightfully theirs. This comes from a CNN Money article from 2013. Did you know that currently state and federal agencies and other organizations collectively hold more than $58 billion in unclaimed cash and benefits? $58 billion in unclaimed cash in benefits. You're saying, Pastor Matt, that's not my money, because I would know, okay? I would know. Well, that's a lot of money for a lot of people that haven't claimed. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, they explain a little bit. More than $300 million in pension benefits is currently owed to some 38,000 people, for example. More than $300 million in pension benefits is currently owned to some 38,000 people. So you know, some people, you know, you'll work maybe six or seven jobs throughout your career, and you forgot that the job you had in your 20s, you were putting that $175 a month away towards your pension, or they were doing something for your pension, and you forgot, you didn't cash it out when you left, and all of a sudden, 50 years later, you totally forgot about it. Another thing, another part is the U.S. Treasury, U.S. savings bonds, says more than 45 million matured savings bonds worth nearly $16 billion remain unredeemed, according to the U.S. Department of Treasury. $16 billion. You're like, how does that happen? I don't know the laws, but I suspect that they don't have to tell you it's there. It's probably what it is. It's on the person whose money it is to claim it. But you know the tragedy with this? Is so many people forgot about the inheritance. They forgot that it was there. This is a CNN Money article of 2013. How much more for us as Christians when we go about living our lives and we have forgotten and we have forsaken this beautiful inheritance of peace that Jesus paid for? And can I tell you what all those millionaires are looking for? They're looking for Jesus's peace. They don't even realize all of the things of the world can't come close to that beautiful, beautiful peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's stand to your feet. Everyone, just close your eyes. Everyone in the sanctuary, just close your eyes for a moment. We're going to be dismissed in a couple minutes here. Maybe you're here today. You've been sitting through this service. You have been hearing about this beautiful, beautiful gift of peace. But the fundamental question has never been answered for you. Are you a part of the inheritance? I've been talking about a message all day long that talks about this beautiful, beautiful peace that God has for his people. Do you belong to the Lord today? With all eyes closed. Have you been washed with this precious blood of Jesus that you can then claim deep peace on a daily basis? Maybe you've been striving after peace and you haven't found it, and you found yourself here in this church today. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you don't even realize that you've never truly surrendered to the work of Jesus Christ so that you can inherit peace. And if you're here today, the Bible very clearly says in the book of John chapter 3, it says that God loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So what that is saying is that when you believe on the work that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again, Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you can have peace with God and you can experience peace on a daily basis. But maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor Matt, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart to cleanse me of my sin. And I want to experience that type of peace with God first and foremost. I'm not talking to the Christians right now, but I'm talking to those who would say, you know, I've never asked Jesus to come, and I want to have peace for my sin. I want to have my sins washed and forgiven. And I want to be a part of God's family. And there might not be anybody, but there might be one or two or five or even 10 here this morning. You would say, that's me. If that's you, and you want to say, Pastor Matt, I want to ask Jesus to come and to wash my sins so that I can experience this deep peace. Would you just lift your hand as all eyes are closed in this sanctuary? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Just lift your hand nice and high. Thank you. Go on, put it up nice and high. You don't keep it up. Thank you. Hands are going up all over the sanctuary. Is there anyone else? Just one moment. Just we've all been here. You say, you know what? Thank you. I see you over there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, here's what I'm going to do for the sake of time. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something a little courageous. We don't always do it this way. Ushers, hold steady for a second. I'm going to ask you to do something because I have one of our pastors. Pastor Dave is standing in the back, and he wants to walk you through specifically how for you to experience that deep peace. If you raise your hand, I know people's eyes are closed. Slip out of your seat real quickly. Go on, slip out of your seat. Pastor Dave is going to be right here in the back. I want you to slip out of your seat. If you raise your hand, go on, slip out of your seat. Come on, let's give them a big hand as they slip out of your seat. Go right in there to the back. If you raise your hand, just slip out of your seat right there. Pastor Dave is going to be right there. Ushers, go ahead and lead them right there. If they slipped out of your seat, ushers, go ahead and lead them to Pastor Dave right in the back, and he's going to talk with them for a second. If you lift your hand, come on, church, let's celebrate all those hands that were raised and went up. Praise God. Now, Pastor Dave is going to walk them through that. Now, this is for us as Christians. We don't have a lot of time, but we're going to sing this song right now. It says, I surrender. This is something that happens for all of us. All of us. And I want you to think, what is the thing what's the noise in your life? What is the thing that's bombarding the noise? It might be something big, it might be something small. You say, I need to give that noise over to the Lord. What is the thing that has been robbing your peace, that has maybe not been keeping, you've been holding on to that burden? Maybe it's your children, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your finances, maybe whatever the bomb, whatever the war might be. As the worship team continues to play that, I want you right there with your hands open to the Lord. I want to encourage you to surrender whatever is holding back the peace of God in your life. It might just name it to Him. Say, God, I want to give this to you. The Bible says, come to me and I want to take your burdens. Maybe you're a mother and you have your children and you've been carrying them in an unhealthy way. You need to give them over to the Lord. Maybe you have a job, you're an employer, maybe you're an employee, and you say, God, I give that to you. And as our band continues to play, I want you to verbally out loud, you don't have to shout it per se, but I want you to say it out loud. Say, God, I'm surrendering this to you. It might be something as small as you're distracted with technology or media, and you need to say, God, I need to surrender that to you. Maybe you're worried about something in the future. Just take a couple minutes. And just say it verbally to the Lord. Say, God, I surrender this to you. Some of you may have a long list. We're just going to take a couple minutes and do that right in your seat with your eyes closed, nobody moving, nobody looking around. God, I surrender this to you. Whatever's holding your peace, surrender to you, God. Big and small, we surrender to you, Father. We surrender the noise, God. We surrender the noise, Lord. Maybe you've been holding on to something for decades. The Lord doesn't want you to carry those burdens. He wants to carry it for you. Say, God, I give it to you. Maybe it was a failure. Maybe it was a rejection. Maybe it was a mistake. Say, God, I'm giving that over to you. Giving that over to you, Lord. Nothing is too small for the Lord. You'd be surprised. It's a combination of small things many times that hinders our peace. We surrender to you, God. We surrender to you. Thank you, God. We surrender these things to you, Father. We surrender them to you. And God, we're not going to take them back. Would you give us the grace to not take them back, but to keep them at your feet, Father, in Jesus' name. If you could put Isaiah 26 up real quickly, and then we're going to be praying, then we're going to be dismissed. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says this. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And this is a closing verse that I want us to go away with when it comes to the daily working and walking and staying in peace. You want to know why, as pastors and leaders, we say all the time, you must be reading the Bible and the Word of God? It's because the Word of God helps our minds to remain upon the Lord. And when our minds remain upon the Lord, the peace maintains and stays in our hearts. See, the challenge, what happens is sometimes we call our friends before we call up the Word. Sometimes we go to other sources when the stress and the strain comes and the bombs start dropping. You know, keep a little Bible at your desk, pull it up in your phone. But if you got to make a crazy stressful call, if you got to talk to your teenager, if you got to go into a marital situation, you want to know how you stay in peace and you stay in quiet, you got to have the Word of God and you take and you say, God, I'm gonna hide behind your Word. My mind is going to be fixed upon you so that I can walk in this place of peace and of quiet. Take the hand of the person next to you. Let's join hands across the aisle. If you haven't met your neighbor yet, why don't you introduce yourself real quickly? Tell them your name so they can hear you, because you're going to pray for them in a second. Here's what we want to do. I want everyone to be prayed for in the Lord's house today. I want you to pray for your neighbor by name. This might be new to you. It's okay. Pray for them by name. Pray very specifically. They're going to put that passage back up on the screen. I want you to pray, God, help their mind to be stayed upon you. Say, God, give them the grace this week. Help their mind to be fixed upon the Word of God so that they may stay in perfect peace. Go ahead. Begin to pray. Pray out loud so they can hear you. Pray for them by name. Just pray what's on the screen. Perfect peace, Lord. Keep our mind and our eye upon you, upon your Word, Lord. Together as a family, and we thank you for this time worshiping you and giving and being around your Word. Lord, as we go from this place now, we thank you for keeping us in perfect peace. And I pray, God, that my brothers and sisters, that this would be a week that even those in darkness would see the supernatural peace of God upon their lives. And it may open amazing doors for them to share about the great God that we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise him one last time before we go. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So good.